This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Emily Thompson from Wellington, Florida, and you are listening to a special jumping edition of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for May 6, episode 907. This episode is brought to you by S Equestrian. Good morning, Horse World.
Oh, my God. It's Tuesday.
Top-class show jumping at the very best.
Every horse is different, and you've got to be able to understand and read each different horse.
Remember, we're looking for those clears in this round to go forward to the jump off.
You can't ask for anything more. It's just pure theatre.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning, the special jumping episode of Horses in the Morning that we do every month with Emily. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Glenn. Super excited to be here again.
I am, too. I haven't gotten to talk to you much this month. You know, ever since I met you now, we've been talking like once a week, and this month we were both so busy, me with Rolex and you running around the countryside, that we didn't get a chance to talk.
I know, seriously, and I really did miss you.
I know. We've gotten to know each other pretty well here over the last – seems like I've known you for 10 years, and it's been like 3 months.
I know. No, it totally is. I seriously, though, I was like, man, it's so much better when Glenn's here. I was feeling it. I was missing you.
We're definitely going to have to do a road trip to a show together. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
We'll have to get that accomplished at some point. What have you been up to? I know before you headed off to the IHSA.
I know I do it too.
We're all guilty. I always backwards.
I actually printed it backwards, truth be told, on my hang tags the first year we did shirts for them. I was like, ah. But I should know. It's IHSA. But yes.
So you're still in Wellington. You haven't moved north yet.
No, we are going to head out, I think, next week, weather permitting. I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm watching.
So
I want a nice 75 degrees,
Okay. I was going to ask what that temperature was.
Yeah. I think so.
Nothing like holding a flexible schedule on when you move back.
Totally. Yeah. It's a factor for sure.
That officially makes you a Florida girl, not a New York girl anymore. You know that, right?
I know. My dad is, he's like that too. He's like, I don't know where you're from, but not from New York for sure.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. I have to talk to you a little bit about some pictures you posted yesterday. We'll get to that later in the show. But you had an opportunity this month. I was off at Rolex at the 3-day event, and you were off at the IHSA Nationals in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. First of all, tell us what those are, and this whole show is really dedicated to that because you got a bunch of interviews.
Oh, man. Yeah, we really did. We just kept getting more and more content. It was so fun to really just get into it. We've actually been a part – the clothing line's been a part of the IHSA as a sponsor for 3 years now. We make the custom team shirts and for all the college teams. What the IHSA is, it is the college riding program of – gosh, I think it's up to 400 schools now. So these teams, they come together, they compete all the way from flat classes up to jumping to the top classes, the Cachione Cup, named after the founder of IHSA, Bob Cachione. We'll hear a little from him later. But yeah, it's just such a neat program because the kids can they can do all different levels of riding. Like I said, I mean, you can go to college and try out essentially, but start riding on the IHSA team in the flat classes, the walk trot, and then all the way up to your experienced A show kids come and they don't want to stop riding for 4 years at college, so they join the IHSA team at their college. And it's cool. It's a team atmosphere. It's very different than your individual show sport. These teams vary from, I think maybe the smaller team had like 8 kids or so, and then the bigger ones, I mean, they've got, you know, 30, 40 kids on these teams. And so it's fun since we do make those shirts for them, that all the kids, they're rocking the same shirt. It's like team spirit. It's fun.
And it's the Intercollegiate Horse Show Association is what it stands for. And you had an opportunity to head to my old stomping ground. I used to work in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I actually, my office was on the river about 5 or 6 blocks from where you were at the Farm Show Arena in Harrisburg.
It's so wild. I remember you saying that, and I did wave to the Hershey's ice cream plant as I drove by for you.
Did you take a good whiff, too? You just sniffed and smell the chocolate?
I didn't. It was fearfully cold outside, but I did wave.
It is fun if you ever get to go down to her. I don't know if you've ever done the tour down at Hershey, but it's a lot of fun. And you come out, and when you come out of the tour, you're in the middle of this huge store selling nothing but chocolate.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have to buy large quantities of it. It's required. They don't let you out the door unless you do. So it is and, you know, all of Hershey smells like that. And used to be years and years ago at Hershey, Pennsylvania, you used to be able to tour the plant itself. Now they have a little ride, and you don't get to go through the plant. But I remember as a kid going, and you actually got to walk around, and you got to see the Hershey's Kisses by the millions on the conveyor belt. That was
That's
so cool
awesome.
When you're a kid.
Yeah, how could that be a bad trip, really?
I know.
Chocolate factory.
That was the best field trip we ever took as kids.
I bet. Guaranteed
so
happiness.
You went to the Farm Show Arena, and that's where they held this. Were there like hundreds or thousands of kids? How many kids show up for this?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it feels like hundreds and parents. And, you know, the IHSA has an English section, and then a lot of the schools also have a Western division. So you have, it's a huge showing. There are lots of kids. The stands are really full. The schools all have their tables, so Western and English kids are, you know, clumped together by their school. So you can kind of see what the bigger teams are. And, I mean, it's wild. I was talking to a few people just getting statistics on number of school horses and kids. I mean, Findlay University, they have 512 somewhere around their school horses.
Whoa!
Yeah, they have 2 barns.
Really?
They've got Western and English. It's huge. This operation has grown tremendously. It's cool. Like now that people are really taking notice, and it's becoming more publicized. More kids are getting on the teams. It's really becoming this big event. You know, it's been around for a while. In 1967, it was founded. So that's a
well,
little.
You've
bit.
Had a bunch of interviews. I wanted to clarify a couple things before we listen to the interviews. First, I want to set the scene a little bit. Harrisburg at the Farm Show Arena is where they hold the Pennsylvania Farm Show every year, and that's the largest indoor agricultural exposition in the country every year. The Farm Show Arena itself is huge. I mean, it's a vast complex. And you were in what's called the new arena, the old arena. There's a new arena and an old arena, and the new arena was just built about 10 years ago. That whole section where you were in isn't too old. And it is a vast complex. It's big. You said there was something else going on at the same time. There usually is because it's so big.
Oh, yeah. They had volleyball. So it was like, you know, if you walk to one of the far complexes there, the Coliseums, they had like whistles and balls and bouncing and girls screaming.
That's great. Horses love that.
But you're right. It is so big. It's funny that you say that because, you know, I did show there in the old arena quite a few times as a junior. And then I came back and worked as a professional a few times. And then all of these times, by the way, I've been there with my best friend, Ellen, who I do the clothing line with. She also was working in horses and riding at the time. And then now this is my second year in a row coming back with IHSA finals. And I don't know what the deal is. Every time I go there, and it's always with Ellen, she and I get walking and talking and get lost, like just walking down the wrong hallway. And you're like, wait a minute, this is not where I was supposed to be. And it keeps happening. I thought this year for sure I got a good crack at it. This is my second year in the row. I'm not going to get lost. But sure enough, Ellen and I end up in like some back area where we found like it looked like a hot dog stand that had been set up in like this back part. I mean, the complex is huge.
It is huge. You had it was quite a weekend. You had girls there in tight breeches, and you had girls there in volleyball spandex. So
yes. And rhinestones. Don't forget the rhinestones.
Oh, yes, rhinestones and tight jeans. I can't forget that.
Yes, well, it was a scene.
We are going to head into your interviews because one of the things I wanted to say before you do, and I think it's important to know, when they do these competitions, they actually, when you travel to do these competitions, you don't bring your own horses. You're using the horses that the school has there. So you're using the opponent's horses. So you're catch riding basically the whole time you're competing in the IHSA. And that's important to note as you listen to these interviews. Was there anything else? I think that the rest was pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think so. We kind of covered it.
So why don't you introduce our first guest to be Bill?
Okay, so we have as our first guest none other than the president of the USHJA, Bill Maroney. He and the USHJA have been involved, I guess, for the last 4 years or so with IHSA. He was also a judge. We get to hear it from his perspective.
All right, let's take a listen to Bill.
We've got a great guest who is willing to talk with us for a few minutes about a partnership you'll be interested to hear about. We have President of the USHJA, Bill Maroney, here to discuss really the view from his angle. That's who we want to talk to here. This is the man we want to hear from. What is the IHSA?
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for asking me to be part of this and doing this interview. The IHSA is a great program. It provides an opportunity for riders who in the past many of them have typically left equestrian sport for their period of time while they're pursuing higher education, and this gives them a way to take advantage of an opportunity to stay involved in riding, to learn how to compete as a team member, not just as an individual, which really puts an added amount of pressure on and teaches a person to have an understanding of the pressures that our high-performance athletes have and not letting your teammates down. And it builds an emotional maturity level that is great for them in any walk of life they go into in the future.
It's so true. This is actually with S Equestrian, this is our third year at IHSA Finals, and I can't tell you how refreshing it is to come and feel the energy of these kids and teams. And oddly, a lot of them are the same kids that are out there in the A-show circuit. They show up here, and it is a different vibe. So there is a lot of crossover. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? You know, where are these kids when they come into the IHSA? Where are they going after? There is crossover. It's seamless, really. It's natural to come from A-circuit, IHSA, and onward.
Absolutely. There's, you know, naturally a lot of different career paths that these young equestrians are going to take. And what we hope to do is be able to keep a connection with them involved in equestrian sport and a connection to the National Hunter-Jumper Organization, USHJA, so that many of them might pursue professional careers. And by having this juncture and this affinity relationship, they're able to stay involved with their national organization and up to date on the rules that govern our sport, the governance structures of organizations. Some hopefully will come to work for us at USHJA at some point.
Absolutely.
Or in many of the other breeder discipline organizations, or become competition organizers, or become top-level riders, or become just great teachers and trainers that are out there in the future in equestrian sport. And if they choose to have a different career path, that they will continue still riding because they'll have built a love for it and a really great understanding of what goes on behind the scenes. That's a huge part of IHSA. They get to see it from the other side, from the care and camaraderie of acting as a team and caring for the horses. And I think one of the greatest parts of this program is you ride a different horse all the time. And you have to think in the moment and you know, assess your horse's feelings and ability and make the best of any situation that comes your way.
Yeah, you know, it's really true. It's great to have your perspective on it, coming from where your viewpoint is, because it is quite different, although I think, like you're saying, it does play to the strengths And to see these kids get behind and cheer each other on, new kids even, that are coming in and have maybe just started riding in college. Some of these kids can come and start riding even in college, come and do the novice walk trot, you know, whatever classes they're doing, and they've got all of their teammates cheering them on, which is really a different feel from, you know, Wellington or some of the top horse shows that we all frequent. So that is very cool, and that is really the way that it should be.
Sure. What I've seen is a lot of people come in at that level, and then they're building an affinity for life. When they enter it at a later age, it sticks with them really well.
Yeah.
As well as it does for kids that are horse crazy and young. And when they enter at a later age, they haven't been through years and years of it and might have, you know, for whatever reasons, be looking maybe for a break or something different. So they're coming in
fresh.
With a fresh, new, you know, doe-eyed perspective.
We love fresh.
And that's a great thing. But also I think for the kids that have been in high-intensity programs during their junior years, especially the later junior years before they go to college, I've seen so many of them relax a little bit.
Totally.
And it's easy for young people to put a lot of pressure on themselves. They know that their parents are making a great investment, that they're making sacrifices for them to be able to ride, especially at the very top levels. And it's nice for them to be able to enjoy horse sports from a little bit of a different perspective, and IHSA gives them that opportunity to do that when they come into the collegiate programs. You know, I know that many still might go and compete at, you know, the larger shows and have moved on to professional sections or might be showing as amateurs, but even those kids, just by participating in the collegiate program, just get a new, refreshing look at equestrian. You know, it's easy for all of us to get into our own silo.
Yes.
And think that there's only one way to do a sport, and this gives them a chance to see that there's other ways to do the sport, and a sport that they love.
It's true. There is that passion. There's that feel. I mean, the kids are clapping and whooping for each other, and it's, I mean, team spirit. It is all over. We make the team show shirts for the kids, so we get that excitement kind of all year round. You know, they call, yeah, we got our order. And I mean, as a show kid, as an A show kid, I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Like,
yeah.
I want to be at IHSA all the time.
Right.
I love coming to finals. I love seeing all the excitement. And like I said, a lot of them, and you're saying, they're the same kids. You know,
right.
Sometimes you see these top kids that are winning at medal finals. Kells
right.
Bonham
right.
won
exactly.
1 year and then came and won the Cashion Cup, and that is awesome. It's at a lower height,
right.
But it is difficult and challenging. You draw these horses, luck of the draw, right?
Yeah, you've possibly never ridden them before, because when you come to nationals, it's not only horses that might have shown up at competitions that you attended in your regions and at your zone finals, but you're getting horses that have come from a lot of different schools that you may never have seen or ridden before in your life. And that brings a really exciting component to it, and a component that makes you a little bit nervous about it. But it really sort of levels the playing field.
Totally.
I think one of the nice things is they screen the horses to make sure the horses are relatively of the same level of performance.
I didn't know that.
So
nice.
They have riders that come in, I believe, and do pre-ride that aren't participating in the competition. So they school the horses just to make sure the horses will jump around the course. You don't want to have a class where you have a horse that you haven't had some sort of testing to see if he's cooperative for that weekend.
That's
and
awesome.
He's going to perform. So they do make sure that the horses are relatively on the same playing field of wanting to participate.
Nice.
And so that the riders, that luck of the draw isn't about, oh, I drew the stopper or something.
Right, right.
That won't counter canter or
right.
something like that. They're trying to put the kids on somewhat of a fair playing field,
that's
level
cool.
playing field that way, which is a very good part of this program.
Yeah.
And so then the kids all have, going into it, with relatively the same chance.
So cool.
And I think, you know, this, when you look at the quality of horses, there's a lot of really phenomenal horses here that have entered a stage of their life where maybe they aren't competitive at the levels they were competitive at anymore. And I think for people that want to find a semi-retirement home for their horse and have cared a lot about that horse, and that horse has really given them a lot in their life, this is a very nice alternative to, you know, even just throwing a horse in a field.
Oh, gosh,
you know,
yeah. They don't want that. The horses don't want that.
They're used to, when they come out of a show environment, they're used to a certain level of care.
Yep.
And so, you know, horses, we all would love to assign the same emotions humans have to horses, and I think there are some of those emotions present in horses, and that's what draws us to them, is that we find an emotional bond, and you sort of have to think to yourself, do they feel as if they're forgotten when they've been a horse show horse and groomed and lived in the barn and they had been under a routine, and then all of a sudden we say, oh, happy retirement, and pat you on the back, and you're living out in the field with a group of horses.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's got to be some disconnect for them. So this offers them an opportunity to transition to a new part of their life where they're still very useful and feel very useful, and they're adored, and they're patted, and they're groomed, and they're well taken care of, and they get everything they need. And many of them go on for years and years and years and are in their 20s and still participating, because this program has so many different levels that a horse can be a walk-trot horse.
And people, I think, don't know that.
Yeah.
I think they just don't know.
It doesn't have to be a jumping horse to do these college programs. In my career, I've had owners that have donated horses to schools that have intercollegiate riding program, and some of the horses were just going to be flat horses at that point.
Wow.
And they have gladly taken them because they're nice, they're calm, they're well-broke, and they fit a niche. You know, when you go away from these horse shows, you have to think to yourself, they have classes all the way down to the novice and beginner and introductory level at these horse shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I just judged a zone finals a few weeks ago in New Jersey at Centenary, and they had a beginner walk trot.
That's so cool.
They need horses to do that.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to be jumping 3'6" or 4' earthing anymore. He can be a horse that jumps 2', and there might be a great home for him. You know, where you can feel comfortable as an owner that you've given that horse a great rest of his life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so cool because there really is a long life after what
there
we
is.
Consider useful as an ace show horse. I mean, come on.
Right. And you know, I mean, there's very few people that can afford to take care of that horse in the same way he was taken care of as a show horse and have another show horse.
Yeah.
So this is a wonderful way to find a place for that horse to go that you can feel good about the fact that he's going to be really well cared for. And you can go see him if you want to.
And how cool is that? There is. There's that just accessibility. And,
yep.
I mean, these kids love the horses.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really cool to catch the vibe out there at the ring and see them getting ready. They know a lot of the horses.
Sure. They appreciate them. And you can tell they're well cared for.
They're
well-groomed. They're fat. They're happy. They're
nice-looking horses out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of very nice horses that have gone into a lot of these programs, and the nice thing is in the summer when kids go home, there may still be kids, you know, still at the school, and those horses are able to go, you know, and maybe do something at a USCF and USHJ horse show that maybe is at a different level than he was doing before, but he can still be useful all year round.
Yep.
And I've not seen any of them that I would say would in any way be overused or overtaxed.
That's nice to
hear. The instructors find the niche the horse belongs in, and I think they are all good horsemen in saying to you, you know what, your horse will fit our program or your horse won't fit our program. The experience I've had with these coaches is nobody is just trying to accumulate horses.
Right.
They want to make sure that the horse fits in and that they can do the best for your horse possible.
And they're useful.
It's a fabulous program, and Bob and all of the people involved in it should be congratulated
absolutely.
On creating something that has such sustainability, longevity, and serves such a great purpose in our industry.
Totally, and playing to the qualities that we would like to see in our riders and our trainers and our coaches. I didn't realize you were so involved that you were judging and everything.
And,
it's awesome.
One of the other things I love about it is between this relationship, We want the same things from our professionals. We want integrity. We want ethics. We want great training. We want an understanding of the forward system of riding. And so the relationship works very well in that USHJ has a trainer certification program, and many of these coaches are going through that certification program. And many of our judges judge that have been through our program judge these competitions. And there are even more ways that you know, we can do things about clinics and seminars and things like that to really make sure that the that the young equestrians involved in the programs who might want to be professional horsemen are getting the training right now that they need, and also that the coaches involved in this program are active in what we're doing and in our sport and keeping abreast of all the changes that happen in our sport through the involvement with USHJ and through being involved with it. They're capable of doing that, and we can share the educational things that we have that USHA can provide. We have a great relationship with EquestrianCoach.com and Bernie Trarig, and through that relationship we are able to provide, through our trainer certification and through our IHSA relationship, discounts and ways to access the educational materials
That's
on EquestrianCoach.com at a very reasonable, you know, rate, and make it so that we can get more education to more people.
My gosh, and we need it. You know, I just, on the previous show, we talked just a little bit about my background, and that is a problem in this country. We do not have, now we have the certification like you talked about, but, you know, it's getting people to take the test and requirement.
Right.
And so back when I was really doing show jumpers all in, I actually went to Germany for two consecutive summers just for a few weeks, and I studied through the FN at their state riding college in Vechta to get my certification to ride and show and do whatever these, I mean, the Germans know what they're talking about. I wanted to hear about it. And so this just excites me to see that we're doing this in this country. There is going to be a standard, and this is almost a test group of sorts because you've got the coaches. And
you know, I mean, this equestrian sport's been going forever, and these are really pioneer programs that we're coming up with now to take us into the future. And you have to think 10, 20, 30 years ahead, what are we looking for? You know, we, Bernie Trarig and I had a conversation this morning about following release and understanding the connection between your leg and hand and the feel of the horse's mouth and the connection of the horse and stuff. And he said, you know, we've got to make sure that the next generation knows this and that they're reminded of it, so that, you know, you get 30 or 40 years down the road and somebody says, what was that funny thing people used to do where they followed the horse's mouth? You don't want to lose that, because those are important aspects of riding, and that's a fundamental part of riding a horse well, is having a connection with a horse. And, you know, it's just making sure we bring all these pieces together so that we can all benefit from the knowledge each group has. And the minute you think you know everything is the minute you become obsolete.
It's so true.
So I think the openness of IHSA and the openness of USHA and the way that the partnership works together really helps both groups. It helps USHA from the standpoint of, what do young people want? What do young people need? What can we give young people? How can we make them the stewards of our sport in the future? And for IHSA, it gives them an educational vehicle to help them do that for their riders.
Yeah. It's so true. It is so great to have you here and have this conversation, because this is something personally I have been passionate about. And with our clothing line, we jumped on as a sponsor 3 years ago. And we have those talks amongst ourselves. I mean, my gosh, this is amazing here at IHSA. These kids are like patting each other on the back. I mean, they're all down there clapping. They're wearing team shirts. And there's individual classes also. They're showing individually. But then now to hear about the coaching program, the certification, how that's coming into play. I mean, this is just awesome to see the overlap and crossover. I just can't wait to see it continue to grow.
It's a great example of how two organizations can work together to make the sport better all around and to make our future better.
And that's what we're interested in with the future of the sport. Those of us that are fans of show jumping, we love it, and we want to see it grow. I mean, we want to be able to field a team 10 times over.
And, right, and we want horsemanship.
Yes.
And we want them to understand
the elusive horsemanship.
The needs of the equine partner.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big thing in IHSA, is these horses, some of them have special needs. And I think that one of the wonderful things is when you go to get on that horse, somebody tells you about the horse a little bit.
Yes.
So you learn to listen to what people are saying and not just make an assumption of your own. And you learn to work with each other, you know, and communicate with each other. And those are skills that they're learning now about themselves and about other people, that no matter what they do in life, those skills are going to be helpful to them.
It's so true.
We hope they stay in equestrian forever.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will. But no matter what, even if they leave equestrian for a period of time, they will at least have taken some skills they learned within it into their next phase of their life.
We're rehabilitating horse show riders of sorts.
There you go.
We're giving them the skill set that really is required.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome. These are great, great topics. So much good info. And we're going to circle back with a few of these things later in the show. But I appreciate you so much talking with us.
Thank you,
really
Emily.
Great.
It's been a pleasure to speak with you and a pleasure to meet you.
Awesome. Well, we will hopefully get you on at a later date for another show.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Yep.
That was Bill Maroney, who is president of the United States Hunter Jumper Association. What a nice guy. You know, I can't say that I didn't say that about some of the past presidents of the USHJA, but he is a super nice guy. I absolutely love listening to him talk.
Yeah, totally. He's really he's passionate about it. You know, you can't hide that. And he's serious. He's invested. It's very cool.
It is neat. It is neat to have somebody in charge that I think really is doing a good job over there. You and I have to congratulate you throughout these interviews. This was your first time. I mean, really, you've only hosted one show before. That was one episode we did in the past. And if somebody missed that, they can go back and listen to that at horsesinthemorning.com. All our past episodes are there. And then you went off all by yourself to do all these interviews, and you did a terrific job. You're a natural.
Oh, man. It was definitely a fish out of water feeling there for a little bit. I was missing you every single interview, but you know, it was fun because it just, yeah, getting the story, you know, because I'm passionate about it too. So it's really just about uncovering the story, and you know, IHSA is kind of all about these long-term relationships, which you don't really see a lot of out there. And I think that's the sign of health, and that's IHSA through and through. It's long-term relationships across the board.
Well, we have to switch gears here a little bit and have you introduce the next guest, who is a real cutie, and I was glad that you got an interview with her.
Yeah, this was really awesome. So this is the winner of the Cachillon Cup. This is the top class. It's an individual class over a few rounds and a flat phase and a judge discretion work-off. And this is Alexandra Carlton, and here I think it's all in the interview, but she is a cutie.
Hey, guys, we are here back at IHSA Finals with the winner of the Cachillon Cup, Alexandra Carlton, a sophomore at the University of Vermont, majoring in English. Welcome, Alexandra, and congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about when you started riding is what we really want to know?
I was very, very little. I mean, I had pony rides. I don't really remember a lot of it, but I started really riding when I was around 4 and started doing walk trot when I was 5, 6 around
there.
Wow. So I've been doing it a long time.
You've been at it for a while.
Yeah.
But and where did you start? Was it show jumping? Was it lessons? What was it?
Well, my mom bought our farm in Madison, Connecticut when I was 4, so that made it very helpful, I guess.
Yes.
So we had a lot of ponies there that I could just ride around, I guess. And
that's so nice.
Yeah.
So they're into horses.
Yeah, my mom was rode for a while.
Okay.
Before I started riding.
So you were sort of
born,
ushered along into it. It
right,
was there
exactly.
for you. Well, you're very talented. We're happy
Thank
to have
you.
Tell us a little bit about your junior career out there in the A-show circuit world.
I had a long junior career. I did the ponies for a while, and when I was 12, I moved up to the horses and started doing
wow.
children's hunters. And when I was 13, I started doing the Big Eck and the junior hunters. I went to McClay Finals from 2008 to 2012.
Wow.
Talent Search Finals in 2011 and 2012, Washington in 2012. So I had a lot of experience in the junior hunters and in the Big Eck rotation, which I'm really proud of, actually. I mean, it didn't always go so well, and I never really did very well at the finals because I always let my nerves get a hold of me, but it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. So.
But you're so young. I mean, just to be a sophomore to win the Cachillon Cup, when I heard that, I was like, oh, wow. And
yeah.
now hearing all this, you're
yeah,
like,
exactly.
you've been at it for a while here.
This is so different, but obviously that all helps a lot.
Yeah, the competitive background.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, it's been interesting. I mean, there's so many different horses out there, and in
yeah.
our region we have some really great horses and some horses that, you know, they're not bad, but they're definitely difficult.
Yeah, talk to me about that. What are the horses like? I mean, you've no doubt ridden tons of horses, and
right.
this is a different kind of horse. Or what would you tell us about the horses?
I mean, all of them that I've ridden know their job and they know it very well, and they're all good at what they do, and they're all safe. I mean, the ones that we have at school are all very good and easy to learn on.
And you guys are a donation school? You guys take donations?
We take donations. We're not a varsity sport or
okay.
a club sport, so we don't get a lot of donations.
Okay.
But Madeline has a lot of connections, so she is able to get us some pretty good horses.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice. I guess really, you know, for you coming from, I mean, so much extensive experience in the A circuit world, how would you compare, you know, the experience here? It's 2 years for you now that you've been doing IHSA. What is the experience? I mean, no doubt, the team dynamic. How different is this?
I think it's really cool being part of a team. I don't know. All my team members are very supportive. They're all very good riders. And I think the IHSA gives everyone the fair playing field, you know. Like, there's no six-figure horses that are out there with their riders, and they're obviously going to do better because they're really, really nice horses.
Right.
And it gives kids that haven't had the opportunities that I have had more of a chance to do well.
Yeah, for sure. And I heard that they do actually, again, we apologize for the noise. We are here actually at IHSA Finals. I heard that they do pre-screen these horses. They come, they ride the first couple of days. We're making sure that everybody's somewhat on a level playing field
And I
here.
Think they do it very seriously here. There's like a couple of days of warm-ups, and horses can get pulled at any time. So
really?
Yeah, and there's always a chance for a re-ride if it doesn't go well. Which is cool because you can't do that in...
No.
So, yeah, you don't get re-rides.
No.
But I think that's a really nice thing to do because if you don't have a good horse, it's hard to... Or if the horse is spooky or if you fall off for
right.
some reason. It's nice to have a second chance.
That is nice. So the coach requests a re-ride.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it goes? And then it's judge's discretion to allow or not allow?
Right.
Or is it
it's
for
a
sure?
Steward.
It's a steward.
Yep.
Okay, that is a neat aspect. We
mm-hmm.
do not have that.
Right, exactly.
It's their one shot, is you
yep.
do it or you don't. That's awesome. Well, you know, after achieving such an accomplishment inside this very unique program, as we've discussed, what would you say to your fellow riders out there in the A-Circuit community who are considering IHSA in college?
I think go for it. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. It's been interesting compared to the A-Circuit. But, I mean, I've learned a lot from riding all these different horses and just getting on them. I mean, you only have, the 10 seconds before you go to the first jump to figure out what's going on and how you're going to deal with it. And I think it's a very good tool to have, especially in this business.
It is. It's that part of it is unbelievable
right.
to me. We heard from Ryan earlier, I mean, you get on and go.
Right.
You're
no warm-up. You're not even when you're waiting to go in the ring, you're not allowed to touch their mouth.
Really?
So, yeah, you can't pick up the reins.
You just
yep.
get on and go cold turkey.
Yep.
It's impressive, man. You guys
it's,
ride great, and you are
I
a
mean,
beautiful rider.
Thank you.
Very talented.
Thank you.
It's so cool. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk
of
to
course.
Us.
Thank you.
Congratulations
thank
on your
you.
Win, and maybe we'll see you in the future.
Yeah.
My gosh, you're just a
yeah.
sophomore.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Alexandra.
Well, that was the winner of the Ketchikan Cup, and she was a sweetie. Alexandra Carlton is her name, and she was out of what college again?
University of Vermont.
Vermont. Okay, good.
Yep.
Cool. There's not one
yep.
you hear a lot about all the time, so that's
no,
kind of neat.
No, seriously. I don't think that they fielded a team. I think she was here just for the individual. Actually,
well, we want to also give a shout out to Dawn Deans, who is listening and posted on her Facebook page that she's enjoying the talk about the IHSA, I cannot say that, on this morning's show. And she said she rode with the University of Miami, so or Miami University. So thanks for listening in, Dawn. We hope you're enjoying it. Well, you had
she's got to come back.
That's right. You had an opportunity
for the alum class.
To talk to there you go. I think Dawn would like to do that, actually.
It's fun.
We're going to hear from somebody later in the show, too, that was in the alum class, which I didn't even know existed. So I was very fascinated to hear her conversation and what fun. Her name is Stephanie, and she's coming up a little later in the show. We have a bunch more interviews here for you. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I am here with Emily Thompson of S Equestrian. We're sponsored by S Equestrian today. And, you know, we do this once a month. It's the first Tuesday of every month. We talk about jumping and the world of jumping. Emily, you posted some pictures yesterday on your, speaking of S Equestrian, that is your real job. It's a company that you own doing clothing for the jumping world and the riding world in general. But you you get these clothes made. You were in New York City, where you're from, and you get these clothes made in New York City. And you posted some pictures of yourself down there, and apparently you're one of the models because they were measuring you up. But I got to tell you that the pictures and the guy who was doing the measuring, what's his name?
His name is David. He's the mastermind.
Well, I'll tell you what. You had pictures of you in the garment district, which, by the way, you just say that, and it brings back memories of old movies, right? So there's a picture of you in the garment district, and it looked just like the old movie. And then
I know. I don't think much has changed.
You inside the building getting measured, and David looks like somebody out of Central Casting. He is just what you would imagine as a garment district guy. I mean, it was just something out of the whole background. Everything was out of Central Casting.
It's so funny, and it's not just the pictures. Like, everybody – that those pictures were our design meeting. I mean, it's a group of us. We sit down, and we kind of all bring our needs and expertise to the table and put it together, and we've been able to create these amazing new styles, and they're all, you know, new creations. They're not, you know, our version of something else. We're creating something different each time. But it's everybody that does come and see one of these sessions is like, this is so surreal. You have to video this. And it always comes back to David. David, he's just incredible. And he's Argentinian and he's got the accent and, you know, he's very, he has a way about him, just like he looks in the pictures.
He just looks like a tailor. I mean, an old tailor guy. I mean, it's just like you would see in the movies. I'm telling you,
it's so true.
It's so funny when you posted those pictures. I was like, oh, my God, she made this up.
That's what's happening behind the scenes. I know, a little peek behind the curtain.
Well, tell us, how is S Equestrian going?
You know, it's going really well. S Equestrian was definitely the winner job of the month for me this year. It's keeping me busy. With IHSA finals, you know, S has kind of two divisions. We have the S Equestrian A Circuit line, which we have now just launched the jacket, and the breeches are just around the corner. We have a large line of shirts, men's and women's, and those are sold mainly we sell retail into tech stores, so they're vendors, mobile units, online. And then we have the other division of S Equestrian, which is S Equestrian for IHSA, and we make the college team shirts, which is lots of fun. So these kids, they pull together big orders, and it's actually a fundraiser, so they get to make money back towards their show expenses. There's a rebate off of $10 off of every shirt. So when these schools are putting in their orders, you see, like, the moms and dads and fans and alum, people will build that order to get a large order because all the rebate checks go back to the schools for their show expenses. So this time of year, it's pretty busy with finals and all. We've got all those schools. I mean, I think we might have spoken to almost all of them there. It was like, felt like 12 or so that we at least had conversations with and got it going. So it's super exciting. I love the project, and it really is growing kind of like before our eyes.
Well, very good. And you can find all of their products at SECE, is how you spell it, ECEequestrian.com, right?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
SEquestrian.com. And then you met up while you were there in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at the IHSA Nationals. You met up with one of our sponsors on some of our shows here on the Horse Radio Network, and you met up with Tom Newman.
Yeah, Tom Newman. So he's from RevitaVet. He has this amazing system. We'll hear about it, and it is online. And like I'd said, I did leave with a few of the products to work with, so we'll circle back with him. But it was cool. It was very, very cool. So, yeah, let's hear what he's got to say.
Hey, welcome, Tom Newman from RevitaVet. We're here at IHSA Finals. RevitaVet is a sponsor, and it's a product that we've been doing a little work with. So we have him on to talk to us briefly about this. Can you tell us about your product?
Yes, RevitaVet is an infrared therapy device. It's used for mostly preventive maintenance and then rehab on competing type horses. Virtually all disciplines are using it. What it does, it speeds up the healing process by better than 50%, reduces inflammation, reduces pain, stimulates acupuncture points. On open wounds, it also kills bacteria, so there's no infection. And it promotes collagen production. It's also non-invasive. You can't overdose, and there's no side effects. We had top writers in the world using this. We had Olympians. We had actually 7 writers in the Olympics last year, in 2012, I believe. They were using the product and relying heavily on it. I even got a call from London because one of the batteries, a battery went out and wanted to replace it. So they do rely on it. It does a good job as far as preventive maintenance go. If you maintain your horses, and we use as a preventive maintenance device, it's used on the hocks and the knees and over the croup. If you maintain your horses that way, you're going to have less injuries, less better performance, and obviously less vet bills. We're not trying to put vets out of business, but you don't need a vet for everything that happens to your horse.
It's true, and what's great is this is a system that you can use yourself at the barn. So tell us, we don't have a lot of time, but I'd love to hear something that comes to mind, a personal experience with this product.
Okay, several years ago, we did an event at Rebecca Farm. It's one of the biggest eventing venues in the West. They brought in, they flew in about 18 horses from the East Coast for the first time to compete at Rebecca Farm. And none of the riders that I sponsored brought their equipment with them. It only weighs 8 pounds, and for some reason, they couldn't bring the most important thing with them. They were told to watch their weights, basically. Anyway, as the event goes on, I found out that none of them brought their equipment, so I went to the barns and talked to the grooms of each of the riders that I sponsored, and I told them if anything happens to let me know and I'll take care of it since I do have my equipment with me. As we found out, after cross-country, Buck Davidson's horse, my boy Bobby, had a very bad overreach, and it wasn't likely that it was going to make the jog for the next morning. And obviously it was in a 3-star event. So I found out about it. I started to treat the horse at 6 in the afternoon. Then again, we did it first thing in the morning. The horse went through the jog without a problem, and then for good measure we did it again at noon, and at stadium he ended up having a double clear. The only reason at that point he was in fourth place, but he moved up to second place. Only he would have taken first, only Karen O'Connor had a double clear also, and she was in the lead at that time. So just to show that this is also a first aid kit at your events. So you can do almost anything with the devices. We have an app now that works with it, so it shows you how to handle the different frequencies since we pulsate the lights.
It's very cool. There's actually a lot of science behind this. Very cool product. I'm myself leaving IHSA Finals with part of the system and going to try it out on a few of my horses with some specific issues we're working on. So we're going to circle back with this on a product review at a later episode. Very cool. But you can check it out, revitavet.com. Correct, Tom?
Revitavet.com will do it, yes.
Perfect. So check it out, and we will be back with this product at a later date.
Well, that was Tom, obviously, from Revitavet. Well, we're going to take a break here, Emily, for our song of the day, and then we're going to come back with some more interviews that you did from the IHSA finals. I'm going to get that right by the end of the show.
Practice makes perfect. I told you I got it on my tags the first year.
we've talked to them several times, and we used to have regular updates here on the morning show about the IHSA. Isn't there another group, too? There's another college group. What the heck's the name of that one? Can't remember.
Yeah, they've got some NCAA teams as well.
Yeah, and, you know, we used to, and I always got this wrong, too. I could just never get those initials right. The USHJA, I always got wrong, too. That was the other one that was messed up.
It's so many, you know. It's so many all across.
Don't they understand they have to make these things easier for me? Don't they understand that? If I'm going to talk about
it. Me too.
Well, let's listen to, I have a song here for you. It's called Girl with a Guitar. And actually, she is a Western rider out of Nashville. So let's take a listen.
Out on your own. I got a hug from Mama, still on my mind. But Daddy's little girl is doing fine. Tears in my eyes, a smile on my face. The rest of my life starts today.
That was Chancey Neal. She is out of Nashville, Tennessee. She's 19 years old, I believe, and she's a Western rider. She does reining, and she's trying to make it in the music business. So I saw that she's been doing a lot of live performances around Nashville, and she can sing, so we wish her the best of luck. If you want to find the rest of her music, just head on over to iTunes and search for Chancey Neal. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Emily Thompson today. Coach Jen actually has the day off. We had so many recordings that Emily had done that I said, well, Jennifer, you can take the day. Actually, she doesn't have the day off. I have her working on other stuff, so I'm a slave driver. I just didn't have the day off. She's not here. All right, let's find out. Of course, we're brought to you today by S Equestrian at sequestrian.com, ECEEquestrian.com. Tell us about our next guest, Ryan.
Okay, so Ryan, he's lots of fun. He kind of offers an interesting angle. Some people probably recognize the name. He comes from a very successful show jumping family. Wilhelm Genn is the dad, and the two boys, Theo Genn and Ryan, successfully show on the A circuit up into the Grand Prix. They were all top ribbon winners at Pin Oak. It's really impressive, and it's fun. It's a family affair. It's in the interview sort of where he's coming from, but it's a very neat perspective.
Hey guys, I'm here with Ryan Genn, someone that I've watched grow up on the A show circuit. Ryan is the son of Wilhelm Genn, a very successful Grand Prix rider and trainer here in the States. And currently Ryan is on his way to a very successful career of his own. Now a sophomore at SCAD University and an IHSA competitor with some pretty impressive wins already. Welcome, Ryan. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Very nice. We are here live at IHSA Finals, so I do apologize for some of the background noise. This is authentic. Really, what we want to know first is, when did you start riding?
Well, I started riding when I was like 15. I did my first show just after my 16th birthday. And like the level zero jumpers.
It was impressive. I actually watched. I was there. As I said, I watched Ryan during his beginning years down there in Texas. We had a business, and it's pretty unusual, I think, to start at a later age like that and then just be so successful in such a short period of time.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I started when I was still really short, and I was already riding like right before I hit my growth spurt. So
that's right.
I think it's harder to start after you're already full grown, so I just managed to start quick enough.
It's true, and Ryan is very tall. So, well, that is awesome that you were able to get that done in such a short period of time. Kudos to Dad, right?
Yeah.
Top professional. Tell me about your junior career on the A-Show circuit. What was that like in the short, 4 years that it was?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet, honestly. I didn't go to school, really, at the time. I was doing online school, so I was pretty much riding all day, every day. So it's one of the reasons why I could catch up so quick was because of all the experience I was getting. But, basically just jumpers. I was doing, started in the level zero up to the Grand Prix, and I never did any equitation before this. So this is my first time really doing any sort of equitation. So it's all new to me. I'm still learning it.
Which is awesome. I love that aspect of it because Ryan is a very capable rider, but Dad's German,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So we didn't do a lot of equitation, not a lot of hunters. So he has all this experience, but because he didn't do the equitation, you had to start in the beginning ranks, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I started in intermediate flat, and then because I had jumped big already, they put me in open jumping.
Okay.
But for the flat and all that, I'm intermediate.
Kind of had to win your way out, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty sweet. All right, so as we said, Ryan is a sophomore, so this is year two. So from your perspective now, having ridden at the A-Show circuit like myself, we come from the same background, what do you see as the major difference here when you come from the individual short sport of show jumping into this team atmosphere?
Well, that's one of the main things you touched on is the team atmosphere. It's not just yourself that you're riding for, you know, it's all your points are combined at IHSA, so whether it's the open, over fences, or flat to the walk-trot rider, you know, you're cheering for them too, and they could actually be the difference between winning or losing is the walk-trot rider, and so you're cheering for them as a teammate, but then you develop, we have a gator driving by us.
This is authentic, this is real time here.
But you develop the relationships with them too, so you become friends, so you're rooting for your friends too. It's really cool.
It really is. It's fun to watch. It's fun to experience. So hearing it from the inside is just, it's confirmation, really. So tell me, having ridden many different horses in your career, how would you grade the quality of horses that you're riding at the IHSA?
You know, the quality is actually better than I thought it would be, you know. You have some good horses. It's mainly, like, the horses that are donated they are good horses, but maybe had some difficulty with their vettings or the little soundness issues. But they're still useful horses, you know, and they get pampered here. So it's not like they're taking half-dead horses out of a field on three legs that you're riding around. It's not like that at all, especially when you get to nationals here in Harrisburg. You have the better schools bringing their better horses. So you're sitting on some pretty decent quality, actually.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear you say that because from the stands, they look nice out there. I mean, there's some good-looking, fairly show horses.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw my round or not, but I got a big, it was like a 17-2 gray horse that was like going around in a frame.
Yeah.
It felt really comfortable. So
it looked nice, absolutely. So, I mean, these are mainly donated horses, and always the schools need more. But they are, the quality is there. It's fun to watch. So I guess really a big question that we're all wondering is, how does one prepare when you have to draw a horse out of a hat and get into the ring with no warm-up?
Yeah, the no warm-up, that's the biggest thing. It's not like before where you have months to practice and things like that. So I guess that's one of the reasons for me, even so I had a lot of experience riding different types of horses. My first year as a freshman, I made a lot of mistakes and I didn't win as much as I should have just because, you know, I would get on the horse and want to, like, just naturally, like, train on and put my leg on it, you know, and they're not used to that, so they would have little miscommunication, you know, and if it picks up the trot one time for one step and the judge sees it, you're already going to automatically lose. So it's really the communication that's lacking a lot of the time. So the rider has to be really disciplined and really patient and soft and kind of feel out the horse in a matter of moments.
Yeah. I mean, there's no warm-up, right? I mean, you get on and go to your first jump.
Yeah.
You know, you spent 2 years here climbing the ranks through the IHSA. Why would you recommend this program to an A-circuit rider coming to college?
Well, I would recommend it for a lot of the points that we've touched on already, you know, the team development, and I think it kind of develops you as a rider as well, getting to ride so many different types of horses and competing, and you get to travel and things like that. So, and it's a good way to get through school, too. I mean, if it weren't for the equestrian program at SCAD, I wouldn't be riding, really, while I'm in school. So I owe that a lot.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does. And with so much you know, the USHJA is very involved. They're watching you guys. They've got the trainer certification program involved. They've got all sorts of incentives, equestriancoach.com. I mean, people are noticing this 4 years that you guys leave the A-show circuit community and go to college. We got to keep it going, keep track of you guys, encourage you to keep riding. So it's great to see somebody like you out here doing the IHSA and successfully. And how fun that you have to start at a certain level and work your way up. It does.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, you do got to work up. And I think from the outside, me included, because, I mean, I came from riding the Grand Prix, I didn't know anything about IHSA. I didn't really realize, like, how good a lot of these kids rode and how hard they worked, too. And now being, like, on the team and seeing how much work goes into it, too, you know, developed a lot of respect for a lot of my friends here and a lot of the riding stuff. So
that's so nice to hear. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here at Finals. And we hope to talk to you soon, and good luck.
Well, you know, one of the things I found interesting with that conversation, and I think it's the thing that's probably the biggest thing about being with the IHSA for 4 years as you're going through college, is riding all the different horses. You can't get that experience anywhere else, and that is huge, isn't it, for a professional rider to be able to do that?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, that is the skill set. I mean, that's one of, and I think, you know, that's probably a gaping hole in a lot of our riders' foundations. And to have that opportunity, and like, you know, the schools bring, like, their top horses. So kind of whatever schools are within shipping distance, I guess, they bring these horses. So they're the nicest horses there, but you do draw out of a hat and you just don't know. The kids kind of know, you know, the horses here and there. Oh, okay, this one maybe turns a little bit this way. This one's not so good forward or collecting or whatever. There's, you know, some tips being passed around, but I mean, you can tell it, the nerves are high. They're kind of like, okay, when they get on, they pick up the reins and in the ring they go.
Well, you know, and it is interesting hearing him talk about too, because we've all seen the riders that do that. Even if people that even you're going somewhere and you're going on a trail ride with a whole bunch of people, and you're at one of the trail ride places, and you see the professional riders get on and they're trying to fix the horse the whole time instead of sitting there and just relaxing and riding.
Right.
And you know, it was interesting to hear him say that, because you know, basically he wanted to just get on and fix the horses, and you don't have time for that.
No, like they're not allowed to touch the reins. Like they sit in the holding area and they go. It's really incredible. And as you hear, I mean, it's challenging for these guys that are, you know, credentialed riders.
Do they even get to do warm-up jumps? Do they do any warm-up jumps? That
no.
They
sit in the holding area and they're not allowed to pick up the reins. And then they pick up the reins upon entering the gate and, like, you're being judged.
That is hard.
It's really, yeah.
But, you know, boy, that teaches you so much. And, again, you can't get that anywhere else, because where else could you ride that number of horses over a four-year period of time? Nowhere.
Oh,
even if you're a working student for professional, they still only have a limited number of horses.
Oh,
so,
I know. And, like, yeah. They're nice, like the kids said. I mean, they've got some donations coming from some top barns, so they're getting opportunities to ride and learn on nice horses, which is in turn teaching our riders to ride better and more quality and correct.
Well, you know, even the not nice ones you learn from, right? I mean, you're learning from them too, right?
So, of course. You how many gears do I have?
Yeah, exactly. And you learn to adjust. And I think compensating is one of the things that probably is the most valuable lesson that they learn.
Yep.
Very interesting. Well, you had an opportunity to speak to the man himself. We've had him on the shows here before. As a matter of fact, he was just on the Horsemanship Radio Show with Debbie Laux. Back in February, and he is the guy who started all of this many years. He's got to be getting up there. Sorry, Bob, but you've got to be getting up there, because you started this, either that or you started this whole thing when you were 12.
No, I know, but it does have that feel, and like that's what I'm talking about with these long-term relationships. It was really fun to catch up with these guys real quick with Suzanne Reamer. She's adorable. I spoke to her quite a bit over the weekend, and this relationship, this is as old as IHSA, and that's kind of what you see across the board. Our people are passionate about it and invested, and they stay together.
We're here at IHSA Finals with two of my favorite people. We've got Bob Cascione and Suzanne Reamer from WeatherBeta here to talk to us about a great partnership that's been happening for ages since the beginning of IHSA. Back in, Bob, you tell us, when was IHSA founded?
Well, I founded the IHSA in 1967. Started with six riders on a Saturday morning. Today we have 400 colleges, 38 regions, and 10,000 riders throughout the country.
Wow. It's big. It's fun to be part of such a big product, such a big show. Honestly, having these kids here, the excitement is really unbelievable. So the partnership that we really want to talk about here is with a big company most of you know well, WeatherBeta. I've got Suzanne here is going to talk to us about when this company was founded and really what the partnership means.
So WeatherBeta has been around for over 30 years, but it was founded in its headquarters are in Melbourne, Australia, and didn't launch in the United States. They, you know, got their feet wet in Australia and didn't launch in the United States until about 18 years ago. So that's when the true kind of partnership really took off with the IHSA, and we identified a brand of ours that was sort of founded with the IHSA called Collegiate, which is a saddle. We wanted to develop a saddle that was a little bit more attainable for a college student's budget. So we developed saddles that are in, you know, more the $1,000 to $2,000 range versus upwards of $3,000 and $4,000. And it really took off just having the brand name of Collegiate and the partnership with the IHSA being Intercollegiate. And the partnership has grown tremendously. We donate a lot of our products, not just Collegiate, but we have WeatherBeta blankets, horse blankets, sheets, turnouts. We have Dublin, which has a great line of not only paddock boots, tall boots, but also really our lifestyle brand has grown tremendously with our river boots and pinnacle boots, and people are loving them. They're buying them like crazy downstairs. So they're a great everyday barn boot and really hold up, and we have basically soup to nuts and the entire equestrian, you know, we can outfit someone entirely from an English equestrian standpoint.
Yeah, it's really true, and huge fan of the blankets. I've got quite a few blankets myself. So I guess that's sort of the really exciting thing to me to uncover are these partnerships. I'm a relationship person, so it is so cool to see a relationship that's so long between the IHSA and WeatherBeta and has birthed a new product for people, accessibility, which is really what I love about the IHSA project is that it is open to different level riders. Bob, we were just talking about sort of our entry level riders. They don't have to show up to ride IHSA with already credentials at jumping even. They can come in and learn, correct?
Absolutely. This program, this association allows you to come in as a walk trot rider. And go all the way up to, we have Metal McClay riders in here. So there's 8 different levels. And it's a great training, learning center for this college student out there.
It's awesome. It's very cool. And that's what the Collegiate Saddle offers is that accessibility for these kids. I love it. So, well, thank you for meeting with us. Very great to get the word out. And we, I guess, we'll look forward to seeing you next year at IHSA Finals.
We will be here. Thank you so much.
Very nice talking to you, Suzanne and Bob.
Always great to be here. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Yes.
That was Bob Caccione and Suzanne Reamer. Bob Caccione is the big boss of the IHSA, and Suzanne Reamer from WeatherBeta, of course. You know, you made me feel really, really old there because you talked about WeatherBeta being here in the United States for, 18 years. And we actually, when we owned our tack business back in the 90s, we were one of the first people to carry WeatherBeta on the Internet. Back in the 90s. So we saw
awesome.
Them when they first arrived here in the United States and started picking up their products when they had about 5 of them.
Wow.
And had grown with them then after that until we sold our business. So you really made me feel old. Thanks for that, Emily.
Yeah, you're welcome. Always here for that. That's funny. They really took off, though, huh? I mean, so you were there right as they came. They've just been wildly successful.
Well, they have a huge, most people don't know that they have the largest line of retail. They own the largest line of retail stores in Australia, New Zealand, and some in Europe. And they own, like, I think it's 50 or 60 retail stores. So, they're really big. And down there, they were huge before they ever moved here. Now, they have gone through some growing pains here in the United States because I think they assumed that Americans were the same as Australians and New Zealanders and Europeans. And when they got here, they found out that things are different. So they have gone through some growing pains here.
It's interesting. I know them as such a big company, and just to see them be so committed with the IHSA, it's really neat.
Well, speaking about committed, you have to be committed to be an alumni of an organization and then come back to ride in a show. So tell us about Stephanie.
Oh, gosh, Stephanie Cook, she was awesome. I knew that they had the classes, but I didn't really understand. So to live through this, and it was just fate, really, because Stephanie won, and she, she was 7th in her class, and we were handing out prize shirts. So she just so happened to come to the S Equestrian table to claim her prize shirt. And she rides for West Point. I just so happened to have only one from a previous production custom West Point shirt left in her size. So she actually got to leave as an alum with her college shirt, which was so cool. But it was new to me too. You'll hear about it in the interview. It was just the coolest. It needs to grow.
Hey guys, we're here at IHSA Finals with a really special ribbon winner and a very, very cool story that we want to share and get the inside scoop on how this all came to be. We have Stephanie Cook here, who is shown in the alum class at the IHSA Horse Show 2014. And she, last time she was in the ring was?
1986.
And you rode for?
United States Military Academy, West Point.
West Point, which we love because that is one of our S Equestrian schools. And Stephanie won a West Point shirt, which was awesome. But what is so cool about this at IHSA that they offer this alumni class, can you tell us kind of like the story behind it? I mean, this is something that's always been offered, and the option is for you to come. Do you have to qualify for it, or you can come and show in it, or how does this work?
I didn't know until last year that the alumni classes are available at IHSA shows, honestly. I had forgotten kind of about IHSA. And Trinity University in San Antonio asked me to be their coach last last year. And as the coach, I looked up the IHSA website, and I found that they had an alumni section. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. And I looked into it, and I read the rules, and it just said if you showed as an undergrad, you could show again in any alumni classes. And our region, in Region 2 in Texas, in Zone 7, they had only a couple of alumni flat classes last year. And they were, and I figured if I'm going to go to the shows with the team, with Trinity, then I might as well bring my boots and show in the alumni classes. So they were pretty small classes, and a lot of the riders that competed were mostly Western riders.
Yeah.
They to qualify, you have to have shown in IHSA hunt seat to ride an IHSA hunt seat alumni.
Okay.
But now,
and you ribboned. You were a ribbon winner.
I was. When I showed as an undergrad, I actually went to finals in 1986, and I finished sixth in open over fences.
Which we have the ribbon. We have the actual ribbon, which we'll be posting on Facebook. It's awesome.
And I competed against these other alumni, which are primarily Western riders, and it was only flat classes last year, and they often didn't remember their diagonals, so it was kind of an ego boost to go in there.
Back in the ring.
And I did pretty well, so that was fun. And then this year we had enough interest with alumni because OU, University of Oklahoma, hosted the first show, and they have quite a few alumni up there.
Okay.
And so when they hosted the first show, they offered fences and flat for the first time. So in November of 2013, I went into my very first IHSA class again after a 28-year hiatus.
I love it.
It was so scary.
Was it? Like, tell me about it. I mean, were you just nervous? Was it just like, is it going to be like it used to? I mean, what'd you think?
I thought, and I have to understand, I've been coaching the team now. It was my second year coaching the Trinity team, and I had open riders, and I didn't appreciate as a coach or even as a fellow rider what they felt like going into that ring on a horse you don't know. And I remembered immediately when I was standing outside the ring at OU riding this amazing horse named Clyde, big old drafty, warm blood cross, just a big babysitter. And I stood there, and I was so nervous. I was more nervous than if I was going to go and try to do like a mini pre or a derby class. I was very nervous, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? And I suddenly realized, hey, this is a good idea because it helps me be a better coach.
Yeah, totally. That's a really good point. So now you are the IHSA coach for Trinity.
Right, Trinity University.
That's a big job. How many kids do you have on that team?
We have about 8 competing members.
Wow.
Maybe 15 on the team, but about 8 of them are able to make it to the shows.
Wow, that's a decent enough job.
Mm-hmm.
So your riders are all showing IHSA events down there in the Texas area. Is that your zone?
Our zone is our zone goes from Mexico to Canada. That's what we tell everybody. And our actual region is the states of Oklahoma, Texas, and Louisiana.
Nice.
So our shows are at least 8 hours away.
So this is a big trip for you to come all the way up here to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It paid off.
Yes.
It paid off.
It did.
About the best story ever. I just love it. And we got a great picture with the West Point coach, who was your coach, correct?
Yes. Peter Cashman came into West Point. The year I went to Nationals, he came in to West Point to take over the program that year. So our paths crossed barely by the tip of the, you know, he was there. I knew who he was. We kind of said hi. By that point, I was already training a lot with Centenary College at the time.
Yeah.
West Point would send me there to kind of get me ready for Nationals. It was an amazing time. And So I when I qualified, and we alumni have to go through the same process as everybody else. We have to go to the shows, accumulate enough points,
okay,
and then go to regionals, and you have to win first or second at regionals. And then you have to go to zones, and you have to get first or second at zones. It's the same as...
Wow, so that was kind of my next question. Yeah, I mean, you guys are hitting it hard. I mean, you've got to qualify. I mean, same deal. You're pulling a horse out of a hat. I mean, they're putting you through your paces.
Right.
Like old school.
That's right. And, yes, that first show at OU, after the offensive class, they write back-to-back at the alumni flat class. And the very first judge made us ride without stirrups and posting trot and everything. And I was going,
flashback.
What am I doing here? Because as a pro, I don't have the opportunity to show in any equitation classes under USHJA. There's nothing for a pro to compete in.
And you would say that that's a positive.
I think it's incredibly positive.
Yeah.
I think that if I can ride better, my horses can perform better.
Totally.
Totally.
And I think that just focusing on my equitation also helps me teach equitation.
Yeah.
So there's really no downside to it.
It's so true. And so you would really recommend this to all alum coming back.
Absolutely.
This is for sure, regardless of where you're coming from, where you're competing, this is a worthwhile endeavor.
It is. It really, and the camaraderie is still there.
Is it?
Because I coach the team, I coach the Trinity girls, and they're, yes, they're cheering for United States Military Academy,
right.
But it's not really like that. You know, they kind of, it's a unique environment.
Yeah, it is. It's so unique.
And
you get to experience that year-round because you have your team, so
right.
Which is awesome. I get just little snippets of it. And every time I come or we order, get shirts together for a team and we talk to the girls, you're like, oh, my gosh, that's right. The excitement is for real at IHSA. It's so fun, and it is a group feel.
It really is.
I love it. Will you do it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Are you going to be back next year?
Oh, yeah, and I hope I don't have to go first again.
Did you have to go first?
I went first.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me about the nerves.
Well, it was funny because a lot of the alum are much younger than I. In fact, the nearest person closest to me in age was class of 1997, and I was class of 1987. So, I had a few years on them. And then I think the person next to her was 2002, and then it went, you know, downhill from there.
That's awesome. No, they got you guys all in there together.
They did. And
doing the same thing.
All in there together doing the same thing, and they when they went for the draw, they said, okay, let's start with the person who graduated the longest time ago. And they said it very politically correctly, and I was like, and wow. All those other girls, they just looked at me. And I thought that was a little rude, but I got over it. And I'm like,
you got over it.
No one asked. Like, nobody said, hey, when did you graduate? No, they all just looked at me, and I was a little offended, but I got past it.
Shake off the show ring nerves, and
yeah,
you go.
Like, how rude. And I stood there, and I went up to the Plinko board to go first, and it went down the thing, and I got horse number one. And I said, oh, man, I guess I'm going first. And then they said, no, wait, we have to redraw, because they forgot the height-weight restriction horses.
Okay.
So they had to redraw, and there were about six people that had to go before I went because they were too tall or too heavy to ride the smaller horses.
I didn't know they did that. That's really interesting.
They do.
That's a great thing. Okay.
People who loan horses to IHSA are allowed to put restrictions on who can ride their horses.
Very nice.
As if an older horse or if it's a smaller horse, you can say, I don't want somebody over this height or over this weight, whatever combination.
Right, whatever works
to ride.
For the horse.
So it's pretty awesome.
That is.
So there were about six people. So they had to redraw. So they put the name back in, and other people went before me, and then I went like seventh, and I put the thing at a totally different location on the Plinko board and got the same horse. So I think that was meant to be. It was great because I actually get more nervous watching.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm a little bit like that too.
When I show my jumpers, I love to be the first one in. I'd love to be just because, you know,
rip the Band-Aid off.
You
it's
know,
over.
You know the course. Go in and do it. Get it over with. And sometimes watching other people kind of psychs me out.
Yep.
You know, especially if they crash or they make big mistakes.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
I thought, well, I'm just going to go in and ride. So, I had to go in first. And that typically the judges don't score the first round as high as others. It's just kind of traditional.
Yeah, it kind of goes that
but,
way.
But, I rode very conservatively because I also didn't want to take any chances, not knowing if they were going to reward that or not. So I just kind of rode a conservative round, had a really nice horse from why am I not remembering the name? See, it's age.
But you've got ribbons.
I do. I do have ribbons, by golly. And I did remember the course.
Which is hard. I'll give you that.
Romero was the horse. I know that.
All right, Romero.
And he was a really good, solid
horse. Just a nice
ride.
Just
a good guy. You know, a little chestnut horse.
Yeah.
Marched around. We had a little bit of a short spot at the last fence is the only complaint. And that, it was a solid ride. I was very happy. I felt okay about it. I watched it on the video today, and I was actually very okay with it then. I was like, oh, that looked pretty good. So
that is so cool.
It was a great experience. I definitely want to do it next year.
Oh, I can't wait to see you next year and check back in, because it's an ongoing event, and that's what's so special about the alumni class.
Thanks.
Because these kids, you grow up, they come back, and you get to experience the excitement again.
Right.
And the camaraderie, like you're saying. I am so thrilled that you're going
to
be back.
And I hope to bring some of my team members with me.
Yes.
Got some that are ready. I'm going to show them all the pictures and show them all the goodies we got in the goodie bag and say, come on, girls, you know, work hard and let's see if we can get maybe the team up here.
Oh, man, that would be awesome, because it's a big trip. I mean, how cool would that be for you guys to come up as a team? Well, we're rooting for that.
Well, thanks.
For sure. And you too. Stephanie Cook, thank you so much for talking with us, and good luck.
Thank you.
Well, that was fun, and, you know, I really did appreciate you putting this all together. It's a great organization, the IHSA, and it's you can find them at IHSA, Inc., IHSAINC.com is where you'll find the website and all the different information about all the different schools. So if you're a teenager looking to, and I know a lot of them listen to the show, and you're looking to head to college, maybe consider a school that has a program and you can continue riding while you're at college. Your parents will love you for it.
Yeah, right.
Good job, Emily.
Oh, thanks. It was lots of fun. Stephanie Cook interview. I mean, we just got to build that alumni class. These guys come back and they're just reabsorbed right back into their college team. It's awesome.
And West Point, I mean, how cool is that too? I mean, you know,
right?
She has that extra angle there as well. And thank you to Stephanie for serving. We appreciate that also. Let's do our trainer tip. We have a very short trainer tip by somebody you know.
Yes, this is my lovely husband, Eric Thompson, providing a fantastic training tip, one of my favorites.
All right, very good.
Good morning, Glenn and Emily. Thanks for having me back. Today's training tip, how to mount when your horse won't stand at the block. This can be a very frustrating issue for professionals and amateurs. I've seen this one issue set a bad tone for the entire training session. First, let's start with you. Your responsibility is to be ready. Make all of your necessary adjustments before you step up on the block. We had an adult student who did everything but her taxes on the block. It's not fair to ask the horse to accommodate you in that way, especially if there's already an issue. Second, ask someone to help you once you're ready to get on. They will stand on the horse's right shoulder. As you step up onto the block, your friend asks the horse to pick up his right foot, and they hold it up while you put your foot in the stirrup. Then they let the right foot back down as you're swinging your leg over and let him walk away. Your aim is to make the mounting process as efficient and safe as possible. You are most vulnerable when getting on and off your horse. I hope this helps, and remember, it may be the horse's fault, but it's always the rider's responsibility. See you next time.
Well, that was really good. I'd never heard that one before.
I like that one. That one's one of my favorites. It's just such a place where you just get into such a battle, and sometimes they're just like, they're trying to just keep their head with you, and they don't get it, and they back up, or they want to graze, or they're antsy, or whatever. But I love that one. It just, you get your relationship started out on the right foot when you're ready to ride.
Yeah, well, I just never heard about, picking up the foot. That's interesting because they really can't do anything. So they're stuck. They can't walk away. They can't jig. That's a really good idea, actually. And probably after you do it three or four or five times, the horse is just, is going to determine that that's not any fun anymore and stop being a nudge about it.
Totally. They get it. It's sort of like a non-confrontational way to just stop it.
Huh, very good. Well, thank you, Eric. We appreciate that. And, sometimes I know how hard it is to wrangle a spouse to do something. So we appreciate that, Eric.
It is.
Look,
he does
Jennifer's not even
tips,
on the
though.
Show today. That shows you how much control I have, right?
I know, really. Seriously. We're both done.
So what do you got going this month before we talk again in 1 month?
Well, we have the ever-exciting migration back to New York. I'm super excited. It does look like spring up there. So we're pulling out. We're taking the horses, the other business, the show horses, up to Saugerties, that are our home for half the year, which it feels that way. It's like a big homecoming. So that's kind of it. We're going to move up there, and then we get started with that first circuit. I think it's the 21st or 22nd.
Tell us a little bit about Saugerties, because that's a name that people hear in the news. Most people that are listening to this show have never been there, but they know it's a place where jumpers hang out in the summertime. But so tell us a little bit about the town and what it's like.
Well, the town is really cute. It's pretty close. It's like 15 minutes or so from Woodstock. So a lot of people know Woodstock, and it's very similar to Woodstock.
There's a bunch of drunk people wallowing in the mud.
Well, okay. It's similar to current day Woodstock. I should definitely say that, right? There's not people rolling around in mud pits dropping acid. So it's nice. And there's actually really cute shopping, and it was rated like one of the 10 coolest towns in America a few years ago. So it's cool like destination anyways, but Tom Strazzeri then built this just huge show complex there. It's awesome. Tons of barns, tons of rings, and they do host the $1 million class at the end of summer in September. They have 9 weeks of jumping dates there at the complex. Tons of prize money, Grand Prix,
Emily.
Hunters. Yep.
I hate to interrupt you, but we're running out of time here. We're going to have to say so long because we're running out of time. We'll be back tomorrow morning live here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you, Emily. We appreciate
Thank
you being
Talk
here.
Thank you. Talk to you soon,
Glenn. Esequestrian.com.
That's it.
Back tomorrow morning. Join us then.